welcome, welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bock, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We have a real busy show for you today. Coming up at 10:30, this is something that we've been trying to set up for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Scott McKellen is an activist fighting against sex trafficking. And we're going to talk to him at 10:30 about what people can do to help prevent sex trafficking. Amber Roth, an associate professor from Forest Wildlife Management at the University of Maine, is joining us at 11:06.
To talk about what?
The 2024 bird of the year.
Yep.
The golden winged warbler.
Oh, right? another installment of our long running and never ending series. Jane, just look at birds already.
Yeah, you know, it's all birds. And then 11:33 on Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller will be here and we'll talk about movies and the Oscar nominations and what his predictions are for that. But again, you can always check in with us at 844-967-2789. If you download the Civic Media app, you can actually call or text directly from that, and the app is free.
That's amazing.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's so cool.
We're going to start off, though, by talking about what happened in the Assembly yesterday. Republicans approved a bill calling for a binding statewide referendum to ban abortion after 14 weeks of pregnancy. Now, Governor Evers has already said that he will veto this.
Yeah.
They wanted to go through this process. Current Wisconsin law prohibits abortion after 20 weeks. Supporters say closing the window after 14 weeks will save more babies. The proposal sets up a statewide referendum during the April election, asking voters if the 14-week prohibition should take effect. It would not apply in cases of rape and incest. And if this referendum gets approved, the ban kicks in the next day.
Amazing. I mean, I understand why they're doing it, because it's what they feel like they have to do to appeal to their base or their donors.
And I think some of them genuinely believe.
There are
genuine believers who have very heartfelt beliefs, and I appreciate that.
I don't in this matter. Like, I appreciate you having your beliefs, but you're pushing your beliefs on other people in a really sticky situation medically, as we talked to Dr. Lyerly yesterday about it.
Yes.
And also, from a political standpoint, these sorts of measures have failed in every state, red and blue.
And very unpopular.
I don't know why they think it's going to be different for us.
A vote against the bill is a vote against the will of the people. The chief sponsor, Representative Amanda Nedweski, there was more than 2 hours of debate yesterday, Democrats blasting it as government overreach, saying women should be allowed to make their own choice about reproductive care.
Not often Democrats get to accuse Republicans of being, like, you know, big government.
The Assembly ultimately passed it 53-46. 10 Republicans voted against it.
Why?
Because it doesn't go far enough.
Exactly. Here we were like, yeah, some solidarity. They get it. They understand the problems and all the, you know, nuance of it. Nope.
We did learn, however, that at least one Republican lawmaker knows his mammals.
He knows his mammals, and another one knows his Bible.
He does. Calvin, do we have that clip ready? Can you remind me, Greg, which
this is Joel Kitchens and Ron Tussler.
Take a listen.
Do you believe that a fetus is a human life, then abortion is not health care? You know, in my veterinary career, I did thousands of ultrasounds on animals, determining pregnancy and that kind of thing. So I think I know mammalian fetal development better than probably anyone here.
One of the things I heard came from the representative from the 20th. She said that she can't think of one situation in the Bible where God forced a woman to have a baby contrary to her personal health. For example, the mother of John the Baptist. And at 88, her own husband laughed at an angel when he was told that he was going to have a baby. So that was at least one situation where certainly a 88-year-old, it's contrary to her health to be having a baby, and here she is being told she's going to have a baby and being asked by God and being required to do that and having John the Baptist, you know, arguably the best Christian that's ever lived.
Donald Trump would say no.
Second, you've got Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Ooh.
Estimates, again, are 13 to 14 years old, kind of the other side of the spectrum. And third, Sarah, but again, 90 years old, elderly lady, certainly contrary to her personal health to be having a baby, but here it happens.
And biologically
so
impossible.
So it's certainly, it's pretty common, actually, in the Bible.
What?
People who are listening who believe this is good, like this legislation, these bills are good, these are the people speaking for you.
844-967-2789. We have Jam from Racine on the line. Good morning, Jam. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Weighing in on the abortion issue.
Yep.
I think everyone, we should have, as a woman, we should have a right to our own bodies. Like back in the 70s, I can't believe I'm stuck in a loop. I'm 71 now. And the same issues that we fought and marched for back then, our rights are just totally being stripped. But the thing is, besides forcing women to have babies, men don't realize, hello, they're also forcing them into fatherhood, which is the other side of the coin, which I really don't think they're all thinking about, because these are human beings that are going to be born. They'll be need to be taken care of, like, you know, fed, funded for 18 whatever years. And I'm not saying that it should be a matter of money over life, but you got to look at the overall big picture. It's always about money in government and everyday life to some degree. And I really feel that a lot of, like, say, indiscretions that could be taken care of, like, they need to think the whole thing all the way through. And I don't think, you know, since they're thinking in this deep state, out-of-the-box mind, I don't think that the Republicans or the anti, I mean, I don't think they're really thinking it all the way through. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I, you know, and Jim, I've thought about this a lot, actually, in the whole issue of child support, because in all of these measures, all of the punitive measures are against the woman.
Yeah.
There have been no additional punitive measures against the father of this child.
First the woman and then a doctor.
Yes. Those are, those are the ones who face the consequences.
Yeah.
And again, other than trying to ensure that child support is paid, I don't know what else you can do beyond that. Nothing else, as far as I know, and if I'm wrong, let me know. Nothing else, as far as I know, is punitive against the father.
Yeah. And I want to go back to Joel Kitchens for a second.
The veterinarian?
Yeah. So I did some digging, and Dr. Kitchens and his wife, they are both veterinarians. They have a practice. Two practices, one for pets, one for farm animals. And when I was looking at that, if Dr. Kitchens, if you're listening, Representative Kitchens, whatever you want to be called, Joel, if this is your real thought, if you think because of your experience doing thousands of ultrasounds
on animals,
mammalian animals, then to me, listeners, that's what he thinks of women personally. He thinks of you as no different than a horse, a cow, a dog, a cat, sheep, anything. You are here to serve a purpose, to make the household and the family strong. That's your job.
And supply able-bodied workers.
Exactly. And Ron Tussler, I have no words. I have no words.
Again, you can believe whatever, you know, follow your faith and adhere to your faith. This is not a theocracy yet. We do not live in a theocracy. I don't particularly want to live in a theocracy. And so, again, you can have your religious beliefs, and that's fine, but you don't get to impose that on the rest of us. That's not what this country is founded on.
And the thing with Ron Tussler, I didn't even feel so much imposed with this as I felt like just a dummy example. Like, he was so proud of himself. I've got three. Two women in their 80s and one woman, I'm sorry, she was a child. Here are my defense. What are you talking about?
But he obviously genuinely believes that that is the justification for this, even though most women by the time they get into their 50s are going through menopause and become unable to get pregnant, certainly in their 80s and 90s.
And
I'm no veterinarian. I'm just throwing that out. I don't have the experience.
And the other thing, too, is the fact that you use them as examples as people who are forced to have a child by God's will. That doesn't make your God seem like such a exemplary person, deity figure thing. So I don't know. It just also, as a side note, look up what angels really look like according to the Bible. It's horrifying. I'm not kidding you. Bible description of angels do not look like praying hands
with the white no, robe and the
no,
and the
they
wings.
are Guillermo del Toro nightmare movies.
844-967-2789 if you want to join the conversation or leave a message on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Tom from L.A., good morning, Tom. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say about this?
Good morning, guys. Well, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, so we must never forget that. Jane, let me ask you a question. Have you had children?
No.
Okay. Do you know anybody that has had a child?
I do.
Okay, so she had a choice, right? I mean, it was a choice, and most of the women that you know probably chose to carry the child the full term, right?
Yeah.
But the government didn't tell them what to do. It was a woman's choice. Women have the right to choose, and just because they have the choice of termination doesn't mean they're going to choose termination. So it's the issue is either a woman's right to choose or the government's right to choose.
For you.
Sounds like some big government to me.
Thanks a lot, Tom. We really appreciate it. Absolutely. And again, you can embrace your deeply held religious beliefs. Yeah. I have no problem with it. But you don't get to impose your belief system on everyone else in the country.
Yeah.
You don't. That's not America. At least not in the America that I want to live.
I don't disagree.
844-967-2789 if you want to join the discussion. Tom from West Dallas, I see you on the line. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin B. on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us if you want to call or text at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Talking about what happened in the Wisconsin Assembly yesterday, Republicans who control the body okayed a bill calling for a binding statewide referendum to ban abortion after 14 weeks. The current law prohibits abortion after 20 weeks. Governor Evers has already implied that he is going to veto this, but the measure did pass. And I do want to re-rack that clip, Calvin, from one of our Republican representatives who was a veterinarian. So he has a lot of experience working with mammals.
More than any of you.
And if you believe that a fetus is a human life, then abortion is not health care. You know, in my veterinary career, I did thousands of ultrasounds on animals, determining pregnancy and that kind of thing. So I think I know mammalian fetal development better than probably anyone here.
One of the things I heard came from the...
Dr. Lyerly, I'm sure, would have something to say about that.
The stank on that last statement. I think I know more than pretty much all y'all.
Scott Allen of Waukesha said, quote, some people say, well, it's my body. I should have a right to choose what to do with my body. Well, no, it's not your body. It's a body within your body, unquote. Tom from West Dallas has been waiting patiently. Good morning, Tom. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Hey, good morning. I just want to point out a reality of our veterinarian doctor and I don't mean to sound rude or crude or anything like that, but what do animals do when they give birth to a litter or what have you, and they have weakened offspring, deformed offspring, offspring that won't survive? They either leave it or they eat it. So that is kind of their form of abortion, if you will, but they give birth to it. So, I mean, that is the reality of the animal world. So, you know, it'd be nice if someone pointed that out to him.
I'm very sure that if you pointed that out to Joel Kitchens, Dr. Joel Kitchens, he would probably say, yeah, but it's out of the body at that point, so it's not my problem. Once it's out of the body, I don't really care. It's
when it's a body inside a body.
Yeah. It's a nesting doll, essentially.
Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate the call. 844-967-2789. Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for calling. What did you want to say about this?
I can't believe that we have to listen to a party who the best they can do to run for president is a guy with 91 felonies. To me, that destroys all credibility in that party in what they say or believe, because they believe a convicted felon should be a president. Now, moving to the abortion issue, how can we listen to a guy who works on animals for our concept of abortion? I'm a Christian. I'm totally against abortion, but I'm totally against the government telling people what they can do with their bodies. I don't believe that abortion should exist if all other possibilities are given, and it, how should I say it now? If it's the life of the woman, of course, that's just common sense. But why do we even give an audience to a party that can't find somebody better than a convicted felon to run for president? They have no credibility.
But they have control.
But it's interesting. You point out something really interesting, Bill, about they like to take the moral high ground on everything. And, I mean, I understand forgiveness as part of the Christian faith, but it seems we extend that an awful lot.
Well, they love to tell us to take the moral high ground until we find out that they're stooping their secretary or doing something that doesn't exactly go with their faith, Moms for Liberty, you know, that kind of thing. They love the moral high ground for us, not so much.
That's
they
for
don't,
them.
Yeah.
They, well, rules for thee and not for me. Thank you so much, Bill. Really, really always appreciate your insight and your input. And Stephen from Green Bay, thank you for joining us. Stephen, what did you want to say about this?
For the Republicans, it's the moral high ground as long as it fits in the parameters of what they do and do not believe. It's kind of a joke. But with that being said, we're in the 21st century where literally you can make people online look like real people, talk like real people. And we're having a conversation about abortion still in this country. This Republican Party is trying to roll back the clock to when, you know, you had to light a kerosene lamp because there was no electricity. And it's absolutely despicable what they're doing. And one of the resolutions I made this year is that I'm going to not shut up, but I'm going to speak up, because too many people in the Democratic Party shut up, and that's part of the problem. So you're going to hear a lot more of me this year, and I'm going to be speaking out against these things, because that's what we need to do as a party. We need to stop shutting up, and we need to start speaking out.
Thank you so much, Stephen. You're absolutely right, and that goes as far as touting the successes of the Biden economic policies and everything like that. But yes, people absolutely need to speak up. I wanted to share this comment from Tony Lone Tree on the live stream. How many of these people have foster children, adopt children? Like, they cut health benefits, they get rid of free school lunches. How do they support these forced pregnancies? Where are the resources? Well, and that's something that we've talked about many times as well. It's all well and good to want to encourage women to have more children, but then you need to help them with childcare and with extended maternity leaves and with extended Medicaid coverage for the first year. And these are all things that have all been talked about, but never happen. And so sometimes you have to wonder if these are really good faith arguments.
They're not. They are hypocrisy. They are sucking up to their donors, to their base, all those things. Because when those children are in the stomach, when they're in the womb, when they're within the body, They are precious. They're glorious. They're gifts from God. As soon as they come out, they're workers. And if you can't work, you're a drag. And if you need help, you're a mooch. Sorry, but you only get that 9 months to be amazing. After that, you're on your own.
Well,
the government can't help you. We don't want to help you.
And that's been a meme that's going around for a long time, that they are not the party of life. They are the party of birth.
They're the party
or
of birth.
And as you said, while you're in the womb, you're in great shape. Once you're out of the womb, you're on your own, kid.
Yep.
Figure it out.
L.A. Tom sent a text that makes me shiver down to my bones. Just think, if Evers would not have been governor, this would be going through.
Absolutely.
Governor Tim Michaels would have signed it today.
Absolutely, without a doubt. All right, stay with us. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, we are going to talk about what people can do to help bring an end to sex trafficking. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane Matnair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board. We are coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Thank you so much for joining us. You can always call and or text at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We have been trying to set this up for a while. We have talked to Scott McKellen on the phone a number of times, and now we're finally going to get an opportunity to talk to him on what people can do to help combat sex trafficking. Scott McKellen, thank you so very much for joining us. How are you doing?
Doing well. Honored to be here. First of all, I want to thank Kristen for starting this conversation way back, and I think it was August when she was interested in having me on the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. We've been working on this for a while, so glad to finally get you on the show, Scott. You have been involved in fighting sex trafficking since 2016, and then in 2020, you launched an awareness mission called Fight for Mary. So can you tell us a little bit about that? What is Fight for Mary?
So Fight for Mary was started back in 2016. I was just, on a forum looking for people wanting to talk, and came across someone who reached out saying that she was scared and wanted to talk. And after talking for about 3 weeks, I figured out that she had been trafficked. She was being trafficked. And after about 3 to 4 months, we were able to get her out. But then I was her only constant support for about 4 years. Not someone whose job it was, but someone she came across on the internet who just wanted to help. And that broke my heart. Like, why is it that she's relying on someone halfway across the country and not someone whose actual job it was? So I wanted to I have a blog, various social media platforms titled Fight for Mari, that are, the mission is basically to motivate more people to get involved, because it shouldn't be up to a stranger on the internet. There should be more people involved in this fight.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you would think that there would be more solidified agencies that are set up to help these people. There certainly are, aren't there, Scott? Yeah.
There are the agencies. The problem is the funding. A lot of the problems I've seen have been agencies that are well-intentioned, but they don't have the funds for the long-term help. And so in her case, She called the National Trafficking Hotline, was in a shelter for a month, and then she was basically told, you have to figure it out because we don't have the funding to help support you any longer.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, there's a question I have for you, and I don't want to bring up hot-button topic beyond what you can do to prevent sex trafficking, but, you know, this past year we saw a movie come out that made a lot of money with the sole intent of bringing the awareness. Are monies from that movie or movements like that that seem to be very, I don't want to say aggressive, but just like so out there for the people to see, being used to fund these groups or just to help individuals?
What I will say about that movie, something that I want to say whenever discussing this, is if you want to learn about sex trafficking, you have to check your biases and check your preconceptions at the door.
Of course.
These days, I feel like 80 to 90% of anti-trafficking work is fighting misinformation, because that organization in particular, if you look into the history of them, they've been called out for a lot of misconduct.
Yes.
There have been people who are on quote-unquote rescue missions with them. And so I've personally stopped recommending anyone work with that organization or fund that organization. Instead, look at what organizations are working in your town, in your community, that have a history, that you can see their financials and all of that. Like, what are the organizations? Do your research into an organization before supporting them.
That's really good advice, yeah. Scott, for any charitable organization. And I always think, too, that if you can donate at home and keep those dollars as close to home as possible, that's probably the best way to affect some change in your area.
Yeah. Like here in St. Louis, I recently started volunteering with Monarch Jewelry, an organization whose mission is to increase awareness, raise funds, and encourage others to join the fight to end sex trafficking and child sexual exploitation. And if anyone wants to help with that, they can donate jewelry to be sold to support the organization to the mailing address listed on their website at monarchjewelry.org. And they are one of the healthiest organizations that I've seen.
That's fantastic.
Scott McKellen is our guest. He has been involved in fighting sex trafficking since 2016. Scott, I'm assuming when you talk about some of these agencies that are available for these victims and then they run out of funds after about a month, I think people might have a misconception about their ability to come out of a shelter and then go right back into normal life. It's not that smooth of a switch, is it?
No, I've mentioned this business a few times, Hero Bands, founded by Elizabeth Frazier, who had been trafficked by her biological parents. And she talks, I stopped using the word survivor because of something she said on the podcast, that she prefers the word warrior because it is a daily process of fighting those demons.
Yeah.
And it's a daily battle for the rest of their lives. So I use the term survivor warrior because it is a nonstop battle. It is not you're out of trafficking, you're done. It is, okay, you're physically out of trafficking, but mentally, physiologically, your body is still in trauma.
I mean, I can't even imagine how long.
Constantly.
Well, and then the fact that she was trafficked by her parents.
I read a statistic this morning by the Maalouf Foundation that 43% of trafficking is familial, as in trafficked by their family.
I can't barely wrap my brain around that. I understand, because I've talked to a lot of people about this over the years, and certainly in some families, this is what you do. Grandma did it.
Yeah.
Your mom did it.
Or you're doing it to survive. Like, what was the percentage again, Scott?
43%.
I have to imagine, and please, everyone listening, I am not defending this one bit. But if this 43% is familial, I have to imagine that it's a process. It's survival. It's, we do this to get this, and it's the way we all live. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason. They're not just like, well, there you go. You know?
Actually, I want to push back on that. And
okay.
I'd recommend that people go and look up Elizabeth Frazier on the various podcasts she's been part of. Look up her business, Hero Bands.
Yeah.
And because her family was wealthy. It was
this
community, wealthy neighborhood. It was just what her parents did. It was not for survival.
So, When you say 43%, are you talking worldwide or is that America?
That the source is by the U.S. National Human Trafficking Hotline.
Okay.
So I cannot say for sure, but I can say that at least in the U.S. it is 43%.
Okay. All right.
Scott, what? So people who are listening who would like to learn more, what do you suggest? Where do they start? Where do folks start?
I would recommend people start by going to iamonwatch.com. That is a free training course that has been developed by the Safe House Project and Maalouf Foundation. It's free, 1 hour training. I timed myself and it took me 1 hour and 5 minutes. It's very, here are the basics for trafficking. It's very, here are the signs to look for. Here's how to report it. Here's what to do if you see it. And I will say I'm always learning more. There's never going to be an end to learning, but there's always a place to start. And that starting point is I can do something and I don't have to stand by in this.
Yeah.
So whether that's books, whether that's blogs, if you go to my blog, fightformari.blogspot.com, I have countless pages of resources, whether that's books, organizations, podcasts, social media accounts that you can follow and learn more. I'm always trying to update that and mention more organizations to look into to learn more. Always trying to add resources for people to continue learning because I know that I haven't stopped and I've been doing this for 8 years. So I know there's no end to how much you can learn. It's only how much you want to learn.
And I'll make sure today, folks listening, that both I Am on Watch as well as Scott's blog will be linked in the show notes. On the Civic Media webpage.
Scott McKellen is our guest. He has been involved in fighting sex trafficking since 2016, talking about various things that people can do if you would like to learn more about this. I have to wonder, Scott, as well, if there is not tragically a lack of sympathy for some of these survivor warriors.
Most definitely. Something that I've seen in recent years, actually, Elizabeth has had a lot of pushback for her story. So she's, and because a lot of the people that, I mean, trafficking industry makes a lot of money. And so anyone trying to speak out will get pushback. And so something that I've been very firm in is I don't care how many people say, oh, it's not as big an issue as you claim it is. Like, I know the facts, so I'm going to speak out on this because I have talked to the people who have been trafficked. I've heard their stories, and I refuse to be silenced when I live in safety and they've been through hell. And I refuse to do nothing about that, and I refuse to be silenced.
Is there a common thread in the people that you've talked to, Scott?
No, it is every demographic, is every age, is every region, is every background. It is trafficking from family, it is trafficking from boyfriending, or referred to in industry as Romeo pimping. It is trafficking from being picked up off the street. It is employers. There's a book that I am about to read that I read or listened to the podcast from, titled Traffic, it's like Traffic, the mom trafficked next door. And it's like, cause she was just trafficked by, her boyfriend. And it was like, it was a mom with kids who was going to work on PTA and she was trafficked. There is no demographic pattern here.
It's just hard to wrap your head around it. It really is. But as you said, Scott, I think this is a far more pervasive problem than people realize.
Yeah.
And this includes, and we only have a couple of minutes left, Scott, but this certainly includes strip clubs and sex clubs and probably pornography as well.
That was actually something I wanted to bring up is, and one of the big biases and preconceptions that I fight against is how harmful pornography is. We talk about it lightheartedly because culture has normalized it, but it is horrifying. I was talking with someone a few years ago who she said that she was matched with a guy on a dating app and he said, I think I recognized you. And she had never talked to him before. And he said, Oh, I saw a video on Pornhub that your ex-boyfriend had posted. That wasn't her ex-boyfriend. That was a trafficker. That was a video while she was being trafficked that was posted on Pornhub.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's really...
People watch pornography.
Yep.
It's trafficking.
Well, I don't know. Can we say that all pornography is trafficking? But certainly an element of it is.
Can't say all of it, but the thing is, unless you're in the room when it's recorded, you can't say it's not. Another thing Elizabeth said on the podcast was she is recorded, and she was told if it didn't look like she was genuinely giving consent, they would have to record it again and again and again until it was believable that she meant it.
You can get involved if you are interested. As Greg said, we will put all the details in the show notes once the podcast is posted after the show is over at noon. Scott McKellen, tell us again the name of your blog spot if people are interested in checking that out.
Fightformari.blogspot.com.
And the on watch training is also something that we will link.
I am onwatch.org.
If you would like to learn more. Scott McKellen, really appreciate what you do. Thank you so much for sharing some time with us and enlightening us a little bit. And we will definitely get you back on further down the road.
Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott McKellen has been our guest. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha.
Where did Dr. Slide get his certifications from? I'm just wondering.
He's he's got the letters before his name.
Oh, I see. Oh, gotcha. You know who else did? Dr. Detroit. That was a terrible movie.
That's complete digression. You can always join the show at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. It was a very serious hour up to this point. We were talking about, again, the assembly passing the 14-week referendum that they want to get on the ballot, even though Governor Evers has said he will veto it. And then Scott McKellen just joined us. We had been trying to get him on the show for a while to talk about his work about sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you said we had a comment on the live stream.
Yes. Tony Lone Tree said, thank you for the conversation, but also brought up another aspect of it, which is the missing and murdered Indigenous women task force that happens, because, I mean, that is
A huge problem.
It's a huge problem that we do not talk about.
No, we really don't.
And the people who do talk about it aren't listened as much as they should be. So if that is something that interests you as well, I can link that as well. But MMIW are the initials, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women.
We should make a reach to them.
Okay, absolutely.
And talk to them and get them on the show. Because,
absolutely.
Again, this is one of those insidious things, I think, that goes on. And most of us would rather not have to think about it because it's so terribly unpleasant and so terribly tragic.
Yeah, yeah.
But covering your eyes with your hands doesn't make it go away.
Absolutely not. In fact, it makes you look less... I don't know.
Ignorance is not necessarily bliss.
No. And your sympathy, and you can be sympathetic, but we need to do something.
Well, and yeah, again, just learn about what we should be looking for. That would be a really good place to start. And that's what Scott had suggested as well. We do want to talk about this briefly before the top of the hour news, but the E. Jean Carroll damages trial is going on as we speak in New York City. Donald Trump walked out. And he didn't have to be there. There is no actual reason legally that he was required to be in this courtroom while this was happening today.
But there were cameras outside the courtroom.
Yes, there were.
So he wanted to be in front of the camera, so he had to leave.
You're absolutely right. Well, he got angry and he stormed out.
Grr, I'm angry Donald Trump.
And the trial judge at one point threatened his I'd rather be pretty than smart attorney, Alina Haba. He was going to throw her in jail.
Sorry, every time you say her name, I just think of like, you want to meet me at the Haba for some crab cakes?
She doesn't need to be smart. She's pretty great.
And folks, that's not Jane making a
I'm not making that up.
That's something she said on record. She'd rather be pretty. She can always pretend to be smart.
She can always fake smart.
She's not doing a very good job right now.
Not so well. It's not going so well for her clients. Attorney Roberta Kaplan, who was representing E. Jean Carroll, is telling the jury to basically hammer down on the former president for defaming her. Consider what Trump has done here. He said she made it up. She was a disgrace. He threatened her twice, unleashed millions of others to flood her with hateful messages. We played his deposition. He called her mentally sick and threatened to sue. And again, this isn't about whether or not he sexually assaulted her. That has been determined.
Yeah.
That's already been decided. Mm-hmm. This is just to determine exactly how much he has to pay her.
Yeah.
And he has never stopped defaming her.
No. I would really like to ask it. Maybe, Jim Santel, he's so busy. Host of our...
Morning Cannolis.
Morning Cannolis on Saturdays. I'd love to ask an attorney, of all the things he's done from the beginning of the first trial to this very moment, of all the things he's done, if you and I had done it, how many times had we been thrown in jail or fined within an inch of our life? The fact, and we talked about this before the show, the fact that he just gets to run roughshod and do whatever he wants, say whatever he wants, make fun of the judge. I mean, what's going on here? He should be thrown in jail for contempt.
You or I would.
I would be in prison by this point. Not jail, folks. I'd be in, like, prison.
And I understand that this is highly unusual to have a former president involved in so many court cases. But just because you are president, unlike what the former president says, you don't get total immunity for anything you ever do.
No.
It's actually not how it works.
No. Because I...
What happens if everybody's accountable before the law?
Oh, he doesn't. Please. Please. You're all, it's just like we were talking about in the earlier. It's about, what did you say? It's not about you, me.
Rules for thee, but not for me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And we'll probably be talking next week about his clampdown on the deep state. I always want to say deep space. The deep state, which is on its face kind of funny because it's just rambling from him, but it's horrifying in its presentation.
Well, and the death threats that E. Jean Carroll has gotten, I mean, they're terrifying. They want to rape her. They want to kill her.
Yeah.
The slurs and the insults and the threats, and I said this yesterday, and I will maintain this till the day I die. If all you have are insults, you have no argument.
Yeah.
You got nothing to back it up. After Trump walked out, according to Roberta Kaplan again, the lawyer representing E.G. Carroll, Kaplan told the jury he thinks with his wealth and power, he can treat Ms. Carroll how he wants and will suffer no consequences.
Well.
And up to this point in his life, he never has.
Exactly. At this point.
He never has been held accountable for anything.
Yes. And. I don't know whether to say, like, shame on the judges or the lawyers for not doing anything about this. His abhorrent behavior, his immature behavior, his illegal behavior. And he just gets to walk around and do whatever he wants to do. This is why he thinks the way he does, because he's never had to pay a real consequence. He's had to pay money out. Big deal. But he's never had to serve time. He's never had his life impinged upon. He has a gold toilet, and he'll always have a gold toilet.
He's never really experienced the find out part.
Yeah. Right? He's farted around quite a bit.
Yes, he has without the finding out.
Without the finding out.
Yes. Thank you so very much for joining us. We're going to move on. The news is coming up next. And then we're celebrating the 2024 Bird of the Year.
The second hour is going to be like just fun.
Oh, and then Matt Miller is going to be here. We're going to talk all things movies. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Get down, watch it, get down.